Hey there, friends. Welcome back to the Happiness Habits Transformation Podcast, the place to discover the happiness habits that inspiring women have used to transform their daily routines, bringing them clarity, peace, and joy. I'm your host, Michelle Reeve, former life coach and author of The Happiness Habits Transformation. In today's episode, I'm welcoming back the wonderful Zaz Grumbar, better known as Yoga with Zaz, for an inspirational conversation that's just perfect for the new year. Zaz is a yoga teacher practicing online at yogawithzaz.com and in person with over 20 years experience and over 23,000 followers on Instagram, where she inspires people to unfurl both their bodies and their minds. Zaz is also a tree friend, so if I'm honest, this was less like an interview and more like a couple of girlfriends having a chat. In our wide-ranging conversation today, you'll discover so much, including the habits that Zaz uses to bring power, positivity, and awareness into her day, the number one thing she believes we all need to make a non-negotiable in our lives, how fitting habits into your routine is like a doctor's appointment, Zaz's experience of perimenopause and how it's shaping her mindset now, how to flip the switch away from negative thought spirals, and the new habits that Zaz wants to add to her routine this year. Now, while you're listening today, think about how you can take what you learn and put it into practice. Take action in any way that's meaningful for you. And as always, you'll find the links and details of today's show and all the other shows in this series at my website, michellereeveswrites.com/podcast. Before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to remind you that the second edition of my book, The Happiness Habits Transformation, is out on the 26th of January 2023, but you can still pre-order a signed copy plus an exclusive bonus bundle of resources from me using the short link tinyurl.com/happinesshabitstransformation while stocks last. Sharing my journey and how I built a bridge back to me not only once but twice is such a privilege. My hope is that with this new edition, sharing how the habits are grounding and supporting me through my perimenopause journey, plus case studies of people, including my guest today, who have woven the habits into their own lives, you will have the tools you need to create your own happiness habits transformation, whatever stage of life you're in. A simple daily routine to release you from the habit of negativity, boost your self-esteem, and help you finally plan out and achieve your biggest and most exciting goals. Okay, back to today's show. So friends, so excited today. Really happy to be chatting with Zaz from Yoga with Zaz, but it's especially brilliant today because Zaz is on the podcast, so you can hear her too. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks a million for having me, Michelle. It's always so wonderful to have a good chat with you, and I get to talk to you and also share to all your listeners. How fun.
Absolutely. So let's get started with a bit of an intro for people that don't know you. So tell us a bit about you and also a bit about the challenges you've had to overcome.
So, I am a yoga teacher. But beyond that, before that, above all that, woman, mother of two. I have two kids, one teenager, one preteen. And I'm in my late 40s and all the joy that that accompanies, that goes along with that. And in terms of challenges, so I started out actually working in the fashion and luxury business, beauty business, doing marketing for big brands like Burberry, Calvin Klein, and so on. And I just simply felt that great, I was earning lots of money. Great, I had a job where I could wear, you know, the high heels and the glam clothes and go to lovely places and travel and so on. But I just felt unfulfilled. And the biggest challenge for me there was, how do I follow my heart? How do I follow my passion? Feeling like, you know, yet another yoga teacher in the world is what one friend told me. And I thought, well, actually, this is really what I want to do. I really want to do something where I feel that there's a little bit more meaning in what I'm doing. I also at the time felt that I was, well, not felt, but I knew that I was spending very little time with my family, my kids, because of my job. So it felt right to leave and to take a big leap into effectively into the unknown. And so leaving a career that I'd built up over kind of 12, 15 years and launching myself into a yoga teacher training was the first big challenge. And then, you know, it's your own business, and then having to make it my own business and to grow it from scratch. That's been a huge challenge, but there's a lot that goes along with it. So that's probably been one of the biggest challenges I've had to face.
And my goodness, you have absolutely overcome that challenge. For those that don't know Zaz, she's enormous everywhere. Just check her out on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook or anywhere. You'll find so much great content from Zaz. And oh my goodness, the inspiration that you put out into the world is amazing. So what daily habits do you have that you think have helped you overcome some of those challenges? What's made you successful in your business, and also what's made you kind of happier in yourself?
Such great questions, Michelle. So one of the first things that has helped me enormously in my business and also in myself is mantra and affirmation. And for some people that sounds corny. For me, it absolutely works. There is a huge power in words. There's a huge power in the stories that we tell ourselves, in the stories that we hear other people say about us. So words are incredibly powerful. So for me, having daily mantra and affirmation is really powerful. And there's just something as simple as saying to myself, I am enough, each and every day. Coming back to that mantra is hugely helpful. And, you know, it's been the case where in my business, I felt, gosh, you know, maybe I'm not like so-and-so, or I'm not as popular as this person, or I'm not a huge, person with a huge following like such and such. And it's all relative. But coming back to going, no, actually, you're enough, Zaz. You're enough as you are. And the right people will find you. And you continue to offer what you do from a place of love and the intention behind it always being one where I want people to explore their potential and see and find the gems that they have inside them. So constantly coming back to those words and being aware of if my thoughts start to drift off into negativity or putting myself down, quickly coming back to going, no, actually, you're doing something amazing. And maybe you haven't got a million followers, but that doesn't matter. Maybe you're affecting one person in this life. So being very aware of what my thoughts are and using mantra and affirmation has been probably the biggest help for me in my life as a teacher in my business. And also, I think as a woman, as going through, you know, trying to manage your own business with juggling being a mom, juggling being a wife, juggling being a, you know, your someone's partner, and being, and also coming back to a sense of self is really being like, yep, I am enough. Keep coming back to that.
Oh, I love that so much. And it speaks very much to one of the happiness habits we talk about in the book. And obviously, you know, you're a fantastic contributor to the second edition of the book, which I am crazy excited is going to be out there in the world very, very soon. But yeah, in terms of thought awareness, which is one of the things that I know is really important to you as well. And it's really interesting how you managed to combine thought awareness with the meditative part of your yoga practice. Can you speak to that just for a couple of minutes? Because I think that's a really interesting parallel.
Definitely. You know, often we're, you know, in a yoga practice, people come to a yoga practice for lots of different reasons. In the West, we really tend to see with the outward signs of yoga. So the physical signs, we tend to focus on the physical practice. And something like vinyasa, which is what I practice and teach, is a moving meditation. When we're in the practice and moving your body, which also feels incredible, I can't, you know, that's also something that is a huge part of my life that I could not be without, is that when we're in a practice, we can sometimes drift off into ego. And it's a constant battle with ego because the ego is going, you must touch your toes. Don't bend your knees. That's for weaklings. That's for wusses. And saying all this negative stuff to us. Or you're not good enough because you can't hold a one-armed handstand with your foot behind your head. I don't know. Whatever it is that's difficult for you. And actually being very aware of those thoughts and going, hey, hold on. Hold on a second. And rather than letting those thoughts wash over us and rather than letting those thoughts lead us and take the steering wheel and drive us, you go, hang on a second. You bring yourself back to that awareness of thought and bring it back to how you function and how you engage either with the world or as part of the movement practice. How am I going to move? Am I going to move in a way that responds just to my ego? Or am I going to move in a way that responds a little bit to something a little bit deeper within me? Am I going to check in with myself? And this is another daily habit that I do. And I recommend really strongly to my students and ask them to do this at the beginning of each class is check in with yourself, ask yourself, greet yourself. Hi, how are you? And not being that person that barrels on and doesn't listen for a reply, but actually check in with yourself. Notice what your thought patterns are today. Notice what your energy is like today. And go forward and function, whether that's a physical practice or it's going to the shops or whatever you're doing, but function in a way that honors that.
And I think it's a really interesting one, because in the back of my head, the front of my head says that I love this so much. And, you know, we all drift into ego. I drift into ego all the time. You know, we compare ourselves with others and often find ourselves wanting. And that's the ego part of us that's doing that. But in the back of my mind, I'm kind of questioning, you know, how do I know when I'm checking in with myself if that what's coming back is not just me kind of playing small? Or not just me lacking in confidence.
Absolutely.
How do you kind of deal with that?
Absolutely. You know, you're so right. And we talk about ego like it's always a negative thing, but actually, you know, we need ego. Ego is a bit of, you know, has to do with our sense of who we are in the world, but it often measures us against other people. So to not play small, one of the things, so the first thing I always say to my students is check in with yourself, go through, you know, your physical layer, your intuition, your heart, your mind, everything. But then the second thing I ask my students to do in my yoga classes is to make a little promise that you're going to talk to yourself as though you are your best friend. So I've got like my inner Michelle with me saying, you know, but sometimes your inner best friend will say to you, come on, love, you can try harder than that. Come on. And then sometimes your inner best friend will go, babe, relax. Don't push so hard. You don't need to always push so hard. You can take a step back. And you'll know, I think that we do know whether we're being true to ourselves. You have a gut instinct that we really listen to, that there are times that if you play small, that if you really, really tune into yourself and you go, actually, I'm going to pull back from this, there might be a little voice in there going, really? Really? Is that what you're going to do? Are you sure about that? And that voice will either be gentle or mocking. And anytime it's a mocking voice, like, really? Is that as much as you can give? Like, no, I know that I'm doing the right thing by pulling back right now, because this has to come from a place of love. If inside me I have a cheerleader going, yes, you can do this. Come on, you can do more than this. This is amazing. You're finding all these hidden gems in yourself. You can do so much. Then I know I have my inner cheerleader. I can go forward and I can do more, explore more, find more, and not play small. And other times I have this voice there that's saying, maybe you need rest today. Maybe you need to lower your expectations today. Tomorrow's another day. You're going to come back and fight again tomorrow. But fill up your cup. And it's about kindness, not kind of, don't worry about doing that. Don't bother. You know, you're not good enough really to do that anyway. That's not a kind and loving voice. So I think it's listening to the voice and how it speaks to you inside.
It strikes me that, you know, for women of a certain age, as we both are, you know, I'm coming very close to my 50th birthday. And, you know, going through perimenopause,
yay.
This lack of confidence, the inner voice, the expectation management for me personally has become so much more important because I think, you know, it's a period of our lives where we do start second guessing ourselves and we do start self-doubt kind of comes up again, you know, and our hormones have a big part to play in that. Is that something that you're aware of, something that you deal with? Is that something that you've kind of had to work around?
Yeah, well, to a degree, yes. I think that there's two things happening. You know, there's definitely those hormones, those sneaky little pesky hormones the kind of ebb and flow. And one minute I think that I'm slightly losing the plot, and I feel totally, totally overwhelmed. And I kind of have to really, again, maybe this is thought awareness, but again, I have to come back and go, Zaz, calm down. You are not actually turning into a crazy person. It's your hormones. Okay, you're going to be fine. But when I have that self-doubt, and it arises from that place of, can you do this really? And you've been doing this for a while, and are you sure this is the thing to do? I think, hang on a second, this is the perimenopause voice talking here. And then I flip the switch into that other perimenopausal voice, because I think there's another voice in menopause and perimenopause that is the voice that goes, I no longer care what other people think. I am going to go ahead and do this for me. I am going to be way firmer about my boundaries. I am no longer prepared to bend over backwards for everybody, you know, unless I really want to. But I am going to do the things that serve me. And that's where I've gotten to right now. I'm going to start to serve me. And when I'm happier, quite frankly, everyone around me is happier. Because when I'm not happy, then it's not much fun being around me.
So true. And I think there's a piece here about understanding ourselves. And knowing what's going on with ourselves, which, you know, quite frankly, we might be the first generation to have that much knowledge and understanding of what's going on with our bodies, and how that affects our motivation, our confidence, and so on, and how that then plays out in how we are in the world and how we relate to other people and how we interact in our relationships. Yes. And then for those of us with children, with daughters, you know, they may, like in our house, going through the same thing, but in the opposite direction. there's a lot that's going on in our lives. And I'm really interested to understand how you use your daily habits within that context, in terms of, you know, you have a lot going on, you know, you have everything that's going on internally, you've got your business, you have your family, your relationships. How do you make sure that you take that time for yourself? How do your habits fit into your routine, and how do you keep them consistent?
You know, I think they have to fit into my routine. It's a non-negotiable, because if they don't fit into my routine, I feel like I'm going to fall apart. And that might sound very melodramatic, but I think that once you have habits that support you, that it's really, really massively important. If you had a regular doctor's appointment, if you were someone suffering from some terrible disease and you had to go and have a doctor's appointment each week at a certain time in order to look after yourself, you would commit to doing that. We would commit to doing that. If, you know, and for a more banal example, every single week, every single day, our families need to be fed. We make the time to prepare food and to have the food there, to go and buy the food. We make time. We make time for the stuff that is important. And we have to recognize that we are important. Whenever I don't practice yoga, whenever I don't do my practice, which my practice has evolved so much over time, you know, it used to be really so physical, and then it was more about the meditation and the physical. Anytime I don't practice, after a week or a few weeks, you know, my family around me will be like, have you practiced yoga lately? Because your mood is not great. And it's a little bit like taking your medication. If you need to take your medication every single day to keep you functioning, then that's what you do. And it's exactly the same thing, I think, with your daily habits, is that they have to become a non-negotiable. They have to also become a non-negotiable to your family. Your family have to see, the people around you who support you have to see and understand that this thing in my life is really, really important for me. It does not exclude you, but it means that I can be a better person to be around you. I can be a better person to kind of serve my community in general, because I am able to do these daily habits. And those daily habits, they don't have to be The other thing is, I think, you know, they don't have to be an hour or 2 hours long. If you can, brilliant. But as long as you put in some time for yourself each and every day, then I think that's how we top up the cup that fills out, that, you know, that fills up. We need to top it up. And if we kind of, you know, keep on, you know, the pouring from an empty cup is such an overused saying, but even if I top up, even if I spend half an hour on my yoga mat, 20 minutes on my yoga mat, then I'm like, okay, I can tick that little box that says, have you taken some time for yourself and to move and to breathe mindfully and to bring yourself back to the present? And then I go, yep, I've done that. Like, I feel good. I feel better because I have not deprioritized myself. And that's what we all do. We all deprioritize ourselves, especially as mothers, especially as women. We totally deprioritize ourselves. And then we find that, you know, we're running on empty and snapping at people.
Yeah, 100%. And the snapping at people, I think, seems to be coming up more and more. maybe that's just me.
No,
I blame the hormones again. I blame everything on the hormones.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think that the snapping at people thing, I was thinking about this the other day, actually, and this is kind of something that we often have a chat about this, but about menopause and perimenopause, there is a reason why Mother Nature made us go through menopause, for the most part of us, at a later stage in life. Because by the time, you know, if we had had our children early, which is when, you know, in our 20s, which is when our bodies were best fit for, and our brains probably were best fit for having these babies, by the time we get to our late 40s, early 50s, we're no longer worrying about what school are they going into. We're no longer having to deal with teenage angst and hormones, you know, thrust up against our own angst and hormones. We'd be like, I can just deal with this thing on its own. I don't have to deal with all the other stuff that I've now kind of moved forward from my 20s and packed it all in to my later decades. So I think that there's a, you know, it's a bit of a lesson, well, lesson learned, not that I can change anything about it, nor that I would. But, you know, had I had the kids earlier, sometimes I feel like maybe I would be more present and able to be very, very present for them in a way that right now, dealing with the menopausal, perimenopausal hormones, I have to deal with that. And I have to acknowledge that I have to deal with that. And that does mean that sometimes they might tell me stuff and I forget, and sometimes that I get snappy, but, you know, it just is what it is.
That's really interesting. And I've never thought of that before, but you make such a good point that for those of us that had our kids older, and I know I did and you did, we are kind of, there's the perfect storm that comes together of, you know, teenagers and us and that kind of the melting pot of hormones, if you like. And, and I've got most teenage boy as well as a teenage daughter. And so there's a lot going on. I do feel for my husband, actually, in the middle of it all. But do you think that means that it's that much more important for us to take that time for ourselves?
I think it is. And maybe on the flip side, I mean, yeah, gosh, if you wrote it down, you know, it's like you said, perfect storm. Who on earth in their right mind would put perimenopausal hormones and adolescent hormones in the same house? Ugh, that's just a total disaster waiting to happen. But, you know, I think that we have to take time for ourselves because we're dealing with so much. And in a way, it's not actually a bad thing, I think, for our children to see that we do things for ourselves, that we need time for ourselves, to understand that that's important, to understand that, you know, you have to learn to take time out for yourselves. And hopefully as they get older, they will go, I'm going to set some habits in place that's going to really support me. And I'm going to make sure that I have some me time because I watched mommy do that. And I know that that's really important for, you know, her, you know, a sense of well-being and to have somebody who is a happier, more fulfilled person.
I think that's very true. And I think there is something about us and our generation exploring and understanding a lot more about what's going on with ourselves that allows us to then teach that to our daughters, and hopefully they're not being in a situation where they're wondering what on earth is going on with their bodies when they get to our age. And it's obviously, hopefully, fingers crossed, a lot more talked about. That's why I'm so passionate about talking about it on here, and I know you're really passionate about it too, but just getting that knowledge and awareness out there about things like menopause and perimenopause and what it means and how to help yourself, and also that not having to be a medical route. I mean, I'm on HRT, I'm happy to talk about it, but I know not everybody is, and there are other ways to serve yourself at this time in your life. And I know and you've spoken to that very much, you know, it's about understanding more about what you need and when you need it, and not being on autopilot and not surrendering yourself to your, to, you know, the thoughts that go around in our head. And one thing that I love that you shared with me in the book is how you had to understand for yourself how you could overcome old patterns of thinking. So let's talk a little bit about that for a minute, because, you know, I know people, when I talk to people about thought awareness, quite often people will say, but, you know, I don't always know that the thoughts that are in my head aren't real.
Yeah. But I think that there's one of the things that I do is, you know, this course, I've done this program called Prepare to Unfurl, where we look into how to establish the roots and foundations to be able to unfurl into your highest potential. And part of that is about doing the weeding and digging out and getting rid of negative mindsets and things and patterns that we have fallen into over a long time. So, you know, how do you know whether the thoughts that are in your head aren't real? Well, they are real. I think they are real thoughts. And I think when we sort of become aware of our thoughts, we can go, okay, I'm thinking this thing, it's spiraling me, I'm going into a spiral. What is it I'm thinking? And then go, well, where does that come from? Where is this thinking coming from? And can you sit with it and try and work it out, so that it's not leading you? It's not, like I said before, it's not sitting in the driver's seat and changing the gears and deciding on the map and choosing where you go. But you go, wait a minute, is this the right thing for me? That story actually doesn't serve me anymore. It doesn't serve me anymore. So I need to look at that story and think, hang on, how can I flip the script on here and start to think in a different way, so that the journey that I'm taking goes down a different path. I have this great friend who I often kind of live vicariously through his romantic exploits. It's a guy, and who will say, you know, that he's gotten involved with this person and this, and, you know, and his relationships, you know, have often ended up in similar fashions. And one of the conversations that we had was every time it was me going, dude, you're like the guy that walks down the street and falls into the same hole every single time. And I think when we fall into thought patterns that lead us to negative behavior or kind of stunt our growth or lead us into not being proactive or to being, you know, sort of somebody who puts things off all the time because there is that fear around being proactive. That's like falling down the hole every single time. And then in the story about the guy who falls down the hole, he eventually walks down the road, sees the hole and walks around it and goes off his merry way. And the next day, again, walks down the road, sees the hole, walks around it, and eventually gets to the top of the road. And he goes, I'm just not going to walk down that road at all. Actually, I'm going to go and find another road to walk down. And that's the same thing, I think, with thought awareness, is that once we become aware of the thought, we can look at it and go, is this thought right for me? Is this helping me? Actually, it's not really. How can I circumvent it and go around and do something else? And then after a while, that becomes a habit, becomes a muscle, really, that you flex. And you go, okay, I'm just going to take a whole different road. I'm going to take a completely different thought pattern. And I'm going to go from, you know, for instance, something like, you probably have heard me say this many times, like, oh, I'm so crap at technology. I'm really crap at technology. Well, that's just me constantly telling myself something negative. I'm not going to tell myself I'm brilliant at technology, because that would just be me lying to myself. But I might go, okay, what I am going to do is I'm going to be resourceful. I am resourceful. So I'm going to find somebody who can help me do this. I'm going to take the time to learn how to do this thing. So I'm not going to let this feeling of being quote unquote bad at technology stop me from doing things. I'm going to actually find my way around it and turn this into a positive experience and retell the story.
I love that. And I think it's very similar to my three little words that I use to, as you say, flip the switch, to use your words, and turn a negative into a positive. Because sometimes the negatives are true. I mean, the negatives are true, but just because they're true doesn't mean it serves us, because it sends us down a negative path, even if that's true. You know, and I'm not a big fan of the kind of the self-help movement along of always be positive. You must be positive all the time and never be negative, because I think that's completely unrealistic. Bad things happen to good people. And totally. I think it's just about how you deal with that. And for me, using the but at least words, you know, if something bad goes wrong, yes, something bad has gone wrong, but at least I have positives in my life, you know, but
absolutely,
at least whatever it happens to be. And, you know, I find that by tricking your brain into thinking of a positive around that negative, helps you to get that perspective.
I just love that, Michelle, but at least I love that. You're so right. It's actually, so I think it's always there, an eating disorder. And, you know, looking in the mirror would be an exercise in judgment, in self-judgment.
Mm.
And it would be like, oh, look at that bit there, that squidgy bit there, or look at that bit there, that little roll, you know, there. Whatever, you know, obviously at age 15, who, you know, most of us had roles, some maybe didn't, but I did. And eventually, though, I flipped the switch, and maybe it was an internal, but at least. So if my eye is drawn now to, you know, a wrinkle or a little roll or something, I will make it my absolute mission to seek out, right, what's really good here in the mirror today. Like, good eyebrows today. Yes, eyebrows are working. Or, you know, yes, you know, the nice smile or eyelashes, or, you know, yeah, you've actually got some abdominal muscles there. This is good. Yeah. And start to focus on the positive and make it an actual mission, because it's not that I don't have the odd wrinkle, and it's not that I don't have the odd tummy roll. Of course. Yeah, of course. I'm human. We have skin and you know, stuff goes into our bodies. That's normal. But it's also going, hang on a minute, but I'm also this, and I'm also really strong, and I can also do this, and I've also got good eyebrows. So, you know, let's try to focus on that. And as you said about, you know, sort of dismissing negative things all the time, in the yoga community, it's called spiritual bypassing. And there's a lot of that of, you know, let's just breathe through it, and, you know, joy, 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 and acceptance and love and nothing else. When actually we have got to be able to sit with the dark stuff. We have to be able to sit with the shadow, sit with the dark, because there can't be light without darkness. We see it and we go, okay, this has happened. It has made me stronger. It has made me wiser. It has made me experience deep pain. And I know the depths of going there. And I know the fight to get back. And I think that's where we start to take that journey.
Oh, well, you know how much I'm going to love what you just said, because, because, you know, I think everyone has been to that dark place. I know I have, mm-hmm. you know, I absolutely been in a very dark place more than once. And if it wasn't for that sense of perspective, plus my habits and a very understanding husband, I don't know how I would have dragged myself back out of that place. But I think you're right, having the sense of perspective that when we do come out of that dark place, it makes us who we are. All of that stuff is the building blocks of who we are today. And I think sometimes we can wish away some of that negative stuff But if we hadn't been through that, we wouldn't have been able to benefit from the lessons that it taught us. And sometimes I think we have to celebrate those lessons. We have to celebrate that we came out the other side. And that is a habit in itself. I know, you know, at the end of every day when I practice, you know, looking at the successes, and I call it my daily success party plan, it is all about looking at, you know, the successes of the day. And sometimes that can just be, you know, I managed to figure out how to do some piece of technology that I couldn't figure out. Or some days it's just I had a hot cup of coffee and I drank it all the way through without
while it was still hot.
Yeah, without being interrupted, you know, or it was whatever it is. It's just it's acknowledging with humor, I think, too, because we need to have some humor that we can still, like, as they say, you know, not every day is good, but there is good in every day, and kind of just celebrating those good bits of our day and reminding ourselves that, you know, bad stuff happens, but it's how we choose to come out the other side.
Completely. I think that your you know, your practice of the success thing, reviewing the successes of every day, is something that I've taken on. And instead of having a things to do list, I like having a things that got done list.
Yes.
Because it's so it's so easy for us to be like, oh, I didn't do this and I didn't do that, and I had this whole list of things to do that didn't get done. But actually, it's not that you just sat in bed all day long. It's that you actually did quite a lot of stuff. So what stuff did you do? And the other thing, I was with a client yesterday who, you know, he's fairly well off and so on. But I was thinking to myself, isn't it interesting how this client can have an hour and a half to do yoga in the morning? Yeah, twice a week, we do an hour and a half worth of yoga practice. And rather than the idea being how busy you are shows how important you are. So like, I don't have time to do yoga because I have so many things to do. So many people need me. I have to do this. I have a meeting. I have this thing to do, that thing to do. But actually it becomes the other way around, that I am so important and so kind of, you know, I have so much in my life that I can take naps. You become even more important based on how much time can you dedicate to pausing in your day. Like, I am so well organized, I have time to do an hour and a half yoga practice. I am so well organized that I can go and take a nap for 20 minutes and not feel bad about it.
100%. I'm a big fan of more naps.
Definitely. More naps. I agree.
More naps. And more rest. So, Zaz, I'm really interested. You have some fantastic habits, and they're obviously contributing a lot to success in your life and work. But are there any habits that you'd like to make part of your life? As we're just, you know, we're in the new year. Is there anything that you'd like to add?
Definitely. Well, one of the things that I want to add is, this will speak to you, is to have a more regular writing practice. I have a bit of a brain dump at the end of the night, because I have always been a night owl. So my brain starts functioning at night and really goes whizzing away. Ideas, thoughts, you know, things I want to write down. So I kind of dump it all down at night. But I'd like to make that a little bit more, I'd like to make space for that in my day. And I'd also like to make a little more space for creativity in my day. And however that looks like, and I want to acknowledge each and every day that I'm doing something creative. So I want to make sure that I'm factoring that into my day, because I think that's something that brings enormous joy. And I think it's something that's just inherently good for us to do, to bring more creativity into our lives.
Oh, I agree 100%. I love that. And so do you have any plans for that? How are you going to go about looking for more creative outlets?
Well, I think, you know, partly it's also acknowledging that we do things in our day that are creative that we maybe don't think are creative. So it's also maybe it's going to be about using that, you know, success in the day, going, hang on a minute, I did do something creative. I did this thing. A lot of my yoga classes are very creative. So I know that I'm ticking a box in a way by planning my sequences and being creative. And then there's things like, okay, maybe what I want to do is once a week, I want to make space and time to sit down with a sketchbook or to get my some paints out and do some painting. You know, just thinking about how am I going to really factor creativity in? And maybe it's something I do with the kids. Maybe it's something I do without the kids. I noticed there's a place around the corner that does ceramics and pottery. So you can kind of join up and do some pottery with them. I thought, hey, maybe I can go and join that and go and make some pots and be creative in that way. Use my hands.
Oh, that's brilliant. I really love that. I mean, I'm a big proponent of sketching, doodling.
Yes.
And definitely regular writing. I'm all about that. Obviously, I think it's a great way to be creative, but also to tune in to what's going on the inside. We can use writing for that if we do it carefully. So can't wait to hear how that goes, Az. Really excited about that for 2023. So as we're coming to a close now, honestly, I could talk to you for days. Just to close off, what tips could you share with us for anyone that's listening? Maybe they want to make thought awareness or moving their body or yoga a new habit for this year. What can you share to help people maybe just make the first step with that habit?
Absolutely. You know, my first thing, and this happens a lot at this time of year, you start thinking about New Year's resolution. You know, everybody's on New Year's resolutions, or how do I want to change and effect change? My big suggestion to you is to just do it. Start. Make an appointment in your diary, put it in there, and make an appointment that says, this time of day is reserved for me to do this thing. So I'm going to practice yoga, and I'm going to make a real focus. For instance, on my website, I have videos where you can practice for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. There is a practice there for everybody. You know, if you, you know, in terms of time length, you don't always have to have, you know, a 2-hour or 1-hour slot. So be really kind to yourself. Make an agreement, make a contract with yourself and say, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to, every morning, I'm going to wake up half an hour earlier, or maybe as soon as I've, you know, done the school drop off, I'm going to go home and I'm going to, you know, immediately not even look at the dishes. I'm going to straight away just get on my mat and just start to move. And honestly, it's one of those things that, you know, you're going to feel better afterwards. Nobody ever goes, God, I really wish I hadn't bothered going to yoga today. And it feels good. You raise your endorphins, you move your body. And I think we have a feeling of being more empowered by being in our bodies, by being able to move and finding that joy in movement as well. And it's so powerful and so important. So to anybody who's thinking, oh, I really, that's my resolution for this year, is find a teacher. And I recommend also not necessarily following just YouTube, free YouTube videos. Those are maybe fine for some, but genuinely, I think you'll get so much more out of it. If you find a teacher, go online with them, do it at home. I recommend people practicing at home as well as in a studio or gym, because then it becomes something that is not just a thing I do out there. It becomes part of your life. And maybe, yes, you might take the odd class in a yoga studio, but if you bring it into your every single day at home, I'm going to get up, or every single night before I go to bed, I'm going to do a 10-minute wind down practice. It just becomes part of your life. And then it turns into that thing that you can't be without. You just need it in your life and you can't be without it. And if you want to take a big leap and go even deeper, and you're already practicing yoga, maybe again, this is a great time of year to start thinking of leaping in and doing something else with that. Maybe learning more, maybe a teacher training, all sorts of things, or, you know, looking at a different form of practice. I think there's huge amounts that we can do, but my main thing is just jump, just do it.
I love that. I think it's a great way to round us off with a great bit of, you know, positive energy. I know we talked about not being always positive, but let's finish with a bit of positive energy and just get on and do it. And I really do love that. Daz, where can people find you? What should they be looking out for? Where can they find you?
Absolutely. It's just Yoga with Zaz, Zaz. And it's .com for my website, yogawithzaz.com. On Instagram, it's at Yoga with Zaz. And, you know, if you come on over there, just, you know, drop me a little message, a little DM. It's always nice to chat to people rather than just have you know, anonymous, you know, just numbers on there. I'm much more into talking to people and engaging with people. So if you want to, please, by all means, catch me on social media. It's Yoga with Zaz, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok. I think also on Twitter as well. And on my website, there's classes. I do live classes online. I do classes in studios in London, private one-to-one sessions online as well as in person, which is great. I have a client who goes from Johannesburg to Dubai, and we still manage to do all our classes online. But yeah, just catch me online. And also then this year coming up, I'm so excited to have just announced that I am the first time going to be co-leading a 200-hour yoga teacher training program. That's a huge deal. And we're going to be, you know, inviting people, if you're interested in learning, in becoming a yoga teacher, in making a jump, making a change in your life, then that is also there. So that'll be, you can check out information on that again via my website. I think it's on the events page. You can find out information about that. And it's going to be quite a different yoga teacher training program, because we're also very focused on how this can lead to you having an abundant life. So that's kind of really key.
That sounds incredible. I'm so excited for that whole new side to what's going on with you. You have been, I know it would just be the most incredible training, because you are just the most amazing teacher. And I love that you're bringing the whole kind of holistic part to it. And I know how passionate you are about helping yoga teachers to be, you know, successful in their business, as well as understanding how to be the best teacher they can be. So I just know that's going to be so powerful for so many. Really exciting 2023 for Yoga with Zaz. And hey, thanks so much for being on the show today, Zaz. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle. It's just such a joy always.
So there you have it, my interview with the fabulous Zaz from Yoga with Zaz. And as I mentioned earlier, you will find all the links to connect with Zaz in the show notes at michellereeveswrites.com/podcast. And hey, if you did enjoy this episode, would you do me a favour? Would you leave me a rating and review, or even just a comment where you're listening today? I love to hear from you. It really makes this more of a conversation, and it really does mean that others will find the show more easily. Okay, that's it from me today. I'll see you next time. Bye for now.